Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. I jumped the gun, man. You're laughing.
I know. I'm laughing because Kyle's the producer of this, by the way.
Producer is lightly.
Lightly. I don't know how he drew the short straw on that deal, but it's tough. And I haven't even hit the skyrockets in flight.
Yeah.
Whoop. I hadn't done any of that.
It's been awful. It's been
you made it tough.
This is a definition of a Monday start.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Ben today. Football. I don't know if y'all are okay with that. We're going to talk some football, but a little bit through a different perspective. So I went on a radio show this morning in Mobile, and I was kind of curious to see what people outside of Auburn are talking about when it comes to, you know, Auburn football. We know all the local guys, and we see what they say and obviously what we say, but it's interesting to hear what the rest of the state or country or whoever is talking about, what they're hearing or what they're seeing as far as Auburn's camp goes. So I want to start off, Ben, and one of the things they talked about when they talked about running backs is that people are seeing the Omar hype. Like, that's out there. Even people down, you know, in Mobile that aren't necessarily super Auburn-centric,
yep,
they're seeing the Omar hype. And I think that's really cool because, you know, obviously we're talking about it.
Yeah, and, you know, you and I were talking a little bit beforehand. I mean, I know we're talking about it, and it even makes it easier being right here in Auburn because he went to Auburn High. So, like, his name is synonymous basically with football in the area, and with him getting the opportunity to even contribute last year and how he's looked. But you do wonder, but then when you, you know, like you go on that station out of Mobile, and, you know, I got a buddy that's in media that is out with Arkansas, and he has brought up Omar before. He's like, is that guy going to get more playing time than, you know, than he did the last year? And I'm like, yeah, it seems so. Seems like he's looking at like numbers. So you got to wonder if they're talking about it out there, like, you know, out, you know, in Suey Pigland. So, because I think I told you this, because neither one of us went to SEC Media Days, but we had a group from our stations that went, and of course, you knew Zach and Dat went, so you were talking to those guys. But, you know, the big talk down there from the outsiders was, number one, was Golish. What was he going to bring to the table? And number two was, and they all said this, when they finally got a chance to see Byron Brown, he became the talking point down at Media Days. So I wonder if that carries over too. But with Omar getting outside of Auburn attention, that ought to let fans know how serious you are, and Dap and Zach and all the writers, beat writers that talk about, hey, Mapson's being talked about. Now you know why the coaches are bringing up his name unsolicited.
I think it was just such a foregone conclusion that it would be a Jeremiah Cobb, Bryson Washington 1-2 punch that it's a little bit jolting. That was Bryson Washington. That was a huge pickup in the portal.
It was.
Like on paper. That's a massive pickup. And
1,000-yard rusher.
I don't necessarily think this story has been written on that whole situation yet. I do want to correct myself a little bit because he wasn't at practice on Saturday, and we couldn't really figure out why. Like, we couldn't get anybody to really tell us why. And I don't know if I potentially misled anyone to think that it was because of Omar, because it's not. And I never necessarily thought that it was like he was getting ready to just leave the team or whatever because of Omar. But I think his stepdad passed away over the weekend, and or not over the weekend, passed away, and that his funeral was on Saturday. So it didn't have anything to do with Omar. It just, like, that coupled in with the rise of Omar was the perfect storm for just a misunderstanding. So, but I don't think the story's written on Bryson Washington necessarily. It's just that's why I think it's grabbing headlines when people are like, Omar's the number two guy, because, man, that was like a national story when Bryson Washington chose Auburn. So it makes sense for it to get headlines outside of just Lee County.
No, like a combination of, because another buddy of mine that lives in Atlanta, like they did stories on that because, you know, you're talking about a guy that's playing at Baylor, and that was after it was announced that Baylor and Auburn were going to be playing in Atlanta. And he is in print media, and he had said, he basically, when this happened, he said, you know, he texted me, he said, you guys got a good one. Like, you're going to have a big 1-2 punch. Like, you got a 1,000-yard rusher, blah, blah, blah. And because I told you that I was kind of hoping Omar would step into that role. I was confused when we picked up Rice in Washington because that's what I said on the last pod, because I thought naturally it was going to go straight to like Omar, and then they brought him in. I was like, oh, well, maybe Omar's not where I think he is, and maybe – but it sounds like Omar is more than where I thought he was at this point. And I got to tell you, Kyle, it's, if he ain't talked about outside of Mobile, Atlanta, Nashville, Birmingham, he will be if – they run the type of offense that they want to run, and they do it by series, they're going to see a lot of Omar maps in a couple of weeks in Atlanta.
Unless something changes, I agree with you. I talked with Dap about it on the live last night, but they, one of the more interesting drills that we got to see when they started putting pads on was running backs and tight ends and pass protection. And Ben, when I was growing up, they called this the Rudy drill. I don't know why, but they called it the Rudy drill, where you'd have one person with their back to the coach. So they're facing four defenders and the coach is behind them. And then the coach will point to one of the four to sort of blitz, and you got to step up and pick up the blitz. And it's all the linebackers. So it's Melendez, it's Xavier Atkins. Yeah. It's a drill for them too. Like, they're rushing the quarterback. I mean, it makes both sides better. But it was running backs and tight ends. And, you know, one way to get your butt on the field as a running back is to be able to pass block. Like, yeah. And if you can't, you can't just be a one-trick pony where you just go out there to carry the ball, because then that's way too obvious.
Yeah.
Other than maybe Jake Johnson, I thought Omar was the most impressive one out of the group.
Oh,
you're
wow.
Talking about stepping up with a full speed Elijah Melendez coming downhill and then just absorbing that and then, you know, stalemating him a little bit. Did the same thing with DeMarcus Riddick. He was the best running back in pass blocking on that day that I saw. And I tell you what, that's how you earn snaps.
Yeah.
We're switching from – we got to get back in football mode. That's how you earn snaps, doing the dirty work like that. He just seems like he's on a different level, different mindset than maybe most. He's just – I think he's a special, special guy. Had a birthday too.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, he turned 19. Is that right?
Yeah, turned 19.
It's crazy.
He can buy cigarettes now.
Don't do that, Omar. That's not good for your lungs.
We're not advocating for that. Well, the thing is well, that's one of the good things is, you know, Auburn's got him for a couple more years too. But here's what stands out about doing that kind of thing at practice, Kyle. That's the stuff that, yeah, they'll turn on film, scouts will. But when they hear other coaches and this coaching staff talk about how well he does in pass blocking, NFL scouts' ears perk up, because they know if you're being looked at in college, you can run the football. Otherwise, they're not even looking at you. There are two other things they're looking for: the pass blocking and how are your hands, because they're gonna throw it to you a lot at the next level out of the backfield. You're gonna be the check down guy. I mean, you're gonna be who the quarterback, you bail the quarterback out at the next level. So if you say he's as good as advertised as far as pass blocking is concerned, buddy, being healthy, he's gonna make a lot of money in a couple of years.
You know what skeptical Auburn fan is saying right now when I say that he was the best looking pass blocker?
What are they saying?
Oh my God, none of our guys can block. You know, that's what skeptical Auburn fan's doing right now. But no, he was impressive. Another thing that they mentioned, I thought this was interesting, they were talking about Cody Burns. They're talking about Cody Burns, his interview, and they said that it felt like he was defensive. He was very defensive when talking about his receivers. And I think it was along the lines of the question that people always want to ask about South Florida and how that translates.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff. So I thought that was an interesting point of view. Because I didn't necessarily take a lot of his quotes as being defensive. What are your thoughts there?
I didn't take him as being defensive. He comes across, and maybe that's just because we're kind of oblivious because we live and work here in Lee County. But he came across to me as just being mature and being a serious coach. I don't think he was being defensive. I don't think it helps some of the questions that probably got asked because of the video that got released of Arch's horrible pass that Cam Coleman was able to haul in that just went all famous over the internet that, hey, none of your guys can do that. Nobody said that, but I guarantee you that thought has entered a lot of people's minds. But I get maybe he is a little defensive because that is a question that's been asked. And, you know, we've talked about Singleton on the outside and people go, well, he ain't no Cam Coleman. Well, that's not what we're asking him to be. We're asking him to be a valuable target, for the offense along with, what'd Cody say? We got six guys. I mean, I think that's what he said. He got six or seven guys right now.
They want to get to eight.
Yeah. And if you got six dependable guys in college that you can count on, I mean, that's great to have a Cam Coleman, but if you got Cam Coleman and three others that ain't very good, you know where the ball's going. So I'd rather have six solid guys like Cody thinks that Auburn has, with the ability to get to eight with the more reps that they get. I like Cody said that one of the quotes that stuck out to me too was how he talks about, you know, you mentioned Omar, but he said blocking's not an option with wide receivers. They better get their butt down the field and throw. If they want to be throwing the ball, they want to be included in the offense, they got to do all of it. You got to bring your lunch pail to work. So he may have been a little defensive, and I get that if he were. It's kind of odd that he only got asked a few questions, but yet they that's what they took from it, was he was being defensive.
Well, it was not necessary. It seemed to me like they felt like he was being defensive about potential poor play or whatever. Like, it didn't seem I'm trying to kind of digest the way it sounded like they were what they were talking about when talking about being defensive.
Yeah.
Like they weren't going to be up to snuff or something like that. And he was really trying to prove that they were. But Cody said something really interesting to me, or not interesting. It was very, very good. He's like, man, the difference between the SEC and the rest of everybody else is not skill guys. Skill guys are everywhere. He's like, good skill guys at every level. And you see that probably more. You see those guys coming from like a lower level and coming up and making an impact probably more than any position, I would imagine.
Yeah.
The trenches is where it gets different.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And you got guys like Chaz Nimrod, who had over 100 yards receiving against Miami last year. You had Keyshawn Singleton, who had a big game against Florida last year. So I think they're going to be – I think the wide receivers are fine. They're going to be good enough, I think. And you may have some breakout guys. I mean, he calls Chaz Nimrod an NFL wide receiver. So I'm honestly kind of shocked how much they seem to value him over Keyshawn Singleton, and I don't mean that in a bad way. They love Chaz, man.
They do. For some reason, that he's a guy that they bring up his name a lot.
They're leaning on him. They're depending on him carry this room.
I thought Singleton would be that guy just because, and that a lot of that's measurables, just to see what he looked like down at South Florida and like how big he is and how tall he is and how wide his shoulders are. So I thought, man, you know, a guy that could kind of beat up a smaller DB in Keyshawn Singleton. But it sounds like Nimrod's the one that runs good routes, finds his way to get open. Got good hands, which, I mean, I know you got to have, but Yeah, I think it's hilarious too when people talk about the skill position, because every like NFL guy and NFL scout will say defensive linemen in the SEC are just different. Like they're way different than any other league. That's why you see guys get in there, and even from Auburn, Derrick Brown is a standout at Carolina. Hall was featured on Hard Knocks first episode. If you're an Auburn fan and you haven't seen Hard Knocks, the first episode is all about Derrick Hall. So
that's cool. He's got a cool story.
Yeah, he's in and he signed his extension in the offseason for like 40 something million. So they celebrate that. And so those guys are able to go in and play those defensive linemen and defensive end, that kind of thing, they're able to go in and play day one in the league. So that lets you know how good they are. Whereas you talk about skill positions, we've seen guys, we used it on the pod last week. Anthony Schwartz could run a friggin' 4-1, and he didn't make it in the league. He was a skill guy. And you would think they would have just taught him to catch at some point because he could get open. But skill guys are everywhere, all over the place. If they're not – Kyle, think about this. Think about when we played Jacksonville State a couple of years ago, and those two wideouts had, like, combined 250 yards on us, and Jacksonville State almost beat Auburn in Jordan-Hare. Because those two guys, they were skill guys, and they just went wild on Auburn. And so, yeah, you can find skill guys at a lot of different places. Now, yeah, there are some that stand out. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., when he was up at Ohio State, an anomaly. Cam Coleman, chance to be that for, you know, down there in Texas. But, you know, if you got six guys, I can understand him being a little defensive where he's like, look, we got six guys that can play at any point in time, possibly eight. So quit talking about the wide receiver. Wide receiver's not an issue. So I get him being a little defensive.
And then the last thing, it's funny, this was all offensive. They didn't have any defensive questions whatsoever.
I think that's the way it is nationwide. Coming out of media days, that's all they want to talk about was goalish.
Well, that's fair. I mean, that's fair because defense ain't been the problem.
No.
You know, but it was offensive line. Do you think this offensive line can be competitive? And – Ben, I want to ask you that question. So far, like, how do you feel about the offensive line? I know there was that video that went viral that Justin Hokanson posted where apparently our fan base is just full of offensive line coaches and they didn't realize that the sled that was being pushed was 350 pounds. You know what I mean? And they call it Big Bertha for a reason. It's like the hardest offensive line drill that there is.
Also, that was more about teaching technique and them staying low and exploding through.
But you're exploding through to a 350-pound.
That's what I'm saying. Sled. Like, that's got nothing to do with that. I'm with you. I love all the offensive line coaches that chimed in on that, where I was like, this has got nothing to do with pass protection. He's completely teaching them technique and trying to get them in the right spot so they can be successful. That's got nothing to do with protecting Brown's blind side. That's
more, honestly, more run blocking than anything.
It is. That's exactly what that was for. They're supposed to fire off, push the guy back, try to make a push for
get underneath, which it's slanted way lower than what an actual to help him over slanted more than what an actual defensive lineman would be to help them like over exaggerate getting underneath and driving. But yeah, that was really fun. But as far as the offensive line, based off what we've talked about and how are you feeling going in?
Barring, I don't want any more injuries because I think we're thin there. But I'm fine with the offensive line. I've told you with a quarterback like Brown, with the two running backs that are 1-2, honestly, if Washington gets it all together and gets some of his personal stuff taken care of, because I think going to that funeral, I think that's going to set him behind even a little bit further than probably what he was as far as implementing a game plan. But you're going to have a 1-2-3 punch is going to last throughout. The receivers, you got a solid six that are out there. I told you, I think the offensive line is going to be enough to get it done. Now, are they going to be
– I like the way you said that.
Are they going to be All-American, All-SEC – you know, we got three guys drafted whenever the draft rolls around. No, that's not the case. But I think they're going to be a good enough puzzle to piece together success in one shape, you know, way, shape, or form. And it's just, they are going to be just as dependent on everything around them as all the things around them are going to be dependent on them. I mean, and I know that sounds very cliche, but they're going to need Brown to have good games. They're going to need the running backs to have good games. That in turn will make them look a little bit better than probably what they are. But they are good enough to be successful and to not be quote unquote noticed. And, you know, the one thing that I've been told too is, I mean, they're trying to cut down, you know, you were talking about the officials being there. And I talked to a buddy of mine that also is involved with the program. And dude, if they can play discipline and not get a bad holding call on a third and two where it backs us up and it's third and 12. Like if they can be disciplined and do what they're being asked to do, I think that there's enough successful components around them that they will be just fine.
Good enough was the term you used.
Good enough.
And I think that's totally, totally fine. Don't be a liability. And some of Auburn's, if you really think about it, like if you think of some of Auburn's better offensive linemen, they weren't just riddled with draft picks.
No.
Like that 2010 offensive line was awesome. I don't think they had a single draft pick. 2017 did have, I think Prince Tega was a draft pick, but like it wasn't just like riddled, I don't think, with just big time draft guys. I don't think that's necessarily a requirement to have like an offensive line full of draft picks. And I say all that to say that coaching matters.
Yeah.
Development matters.
Yep.
Last year's offensive line had two draft picks. And I'm going to go to my grave saying Xavier Chaplin's going to be a draft pick too. I don't think his hearing was an issue. I don't think he was an issue. I just think we had a terrible plan and we just didn't have what it took to coach those guys into successful spots. And I got a hunch this staff's going to be different. We'll see.
And Kyle, it goes back to when you say coaching, it goes back to keeping them disciplined too. There were a few times, like you're talking about the hearing issue and stuff like that. Like that's one of those deals where how many times were we third and two, third and one holding, or, you know, or we got movement, or if you just do your job and be like you just, like we used that term just a minute ago, good enough, put your teammates around you in a position to be successful. Don't be the problem. I think the offensive line will be fine.
Right. I'm with you 100%. I think that's all for today. We got practice coming up later this week where we'll have a lot more practice intel that we can talk about and overreact to, underreact to, and everything in between. But y'all, thanks for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.